All right, let's go on to HER2 positive. I want to start out actually with Edith Perez's paper in the JCO, just as a way to sort of launch this discussion of trastuzumab and adjuvant trastuzumab in the heart. Lisa?
Yeah, so Edith was looking at the cardiac safety results from the NCCTG9831 intergroup adjuvant HER2 trial using trastuzumab added into ACT chemotherapy backbone. This mimics, in some respects, the B31 data that's been presented previously by Elizabeth Tan Chu, and then extends it a little bit. At this point, she was looking at analysis at about 4 years out, looking at both clinical and subclinical effects on the heart, as well as recovery. And it's probably important for people to remember that for 9831, to be eligible for this part of the analysis, they had to have had a fairly normal ejection fraction after AC. So 5% of the patients became ineligible during AC therapy, which is pretty consistent across the studies.
And there was another question that docs have about, is it 50 or 55% ejection? What was it in this study, Nina?
So the eligibility for this study was the lower limit of normal for your institution was the way they defined it. So it ended up being your cardiologist's or your nuclear medicine imager's mandate. So in this study, ejection fraction was looked at 6 months, which would have been at the completion of the taxane phase of therapy, during sort of in the middle of the single agent monotherapy, and then again about 18 months out from registration. So I had serial looks at the data. They found, interestingly, that the cardiac events at 3 years out really hadn't changed much from the initial. So meaning that the chemotherapy alone had less than 0.5% clinical cardiac toxicity in arm B, which was the sequential chemotherapy followed by trastuzumab. It was just under 3%, and it was just over 3% when you added trastuzumab with the taxane and then thereafter, which is nice. And that also mimics with B31. If you're going to have cardiac toxicity, it tends to happen early. They also found, and getting to the earlier comments we were making about the ability to complete the prescribed therapy, that trastuzumab was held for protocol-driven reasons in up to 10% of patients on the trastuzumab arm during those serial evaluations. So at each time they looked, it was almost 10% of the patients had an EF change that mandated that they hold the trastuzumab for a month, recheck it, and then only about half of them would restart. So this is a real issue, and most of these were asymptomatic. At the final evaluation, though, the numbers with EF declines was about 5% across all the arms. So this is a little over 18 months out from initiation. So again, getting to the idea of possible reversibility of trastuzumab-induced cardiac toxicity. They did look for risk factors, as the NSABP investigators had, and in this data set, it was similar in some respects. It was age and the use of antihypertensive meds, as well as EFs that were marginal to start with. You know, if you start low, you're more likely to end low. They did find that some recovery was seen in that they had 39 patients in this study that had frank symptomatic congestive heart failure, and most of these recovered over time in terms of looking at their EFs. Not all, however, but most of them. So I think the issues that this brings up are, is there evidence behind trastuzumab-induced cardiotoxicity being different from anthracycline-induced cardiac toxicity? There's Mike Ewer at MD Anderson has done some very nice studies, and there's certainly, if you look at electromicrographs, they're very different, and the behavior seems to be different. How much we can count on that is a question. And also whether or not we can ameliorate this. The cardiologists, of course, have nice data, and there's some with chemotherapy-induced toxicity, that ACE inhibitors are good preventive agents. We can't answer, in these studies, asymptomatic patients with EF declines weren't treated and continued. They came off study. So these are as yet unanswered questions, I'm afraid.